This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Well, the grand final is almost upon us, so it's kind of appropriate that Melbourne is about to host a conference on footy, which will include talking about issues regarding sexuality and football, and not just AFL football, but all kinds of codes. And one of the organisers, Dr. Brent McDonald, is on the line with us now. Good morning, Brent.
Doug, how are you going?
I'm going fine. You must be flat out getting this up to scratch, because it's not very long away now, is it?
No, it's certainly not, and we've got some really interesting people coming from all around the world to talk about football, as you mentioned, so, and all codes of football. So,
but academically talk about football, that amuses me a little bit.
Look, sometimes you struggle for a bit of credibility given the general public, but actually football, just as any part of culture, is something that has a rich history that deals with current issues, that is a reflection and a reproduction and a challenge of the status quo. So it's just as valid a place to understand our society as anywhere else, I guess.
So who have you got coming for this conference?
Well, we've got a lot of scholars from within Australia, but in particular we've got three keynotes, and the first is Rob Hess, who's from Victoria University. He'll be talking about the history of women's football. But we've also got Jane Caldwell coming from the University of Brighton, and she's doing a keynote on the Justin campaign, which is based on the Justin Fashanu campaign. I won't talk about Justin Fashanu too much, but he was a professional soccer player in the UK in 1998 who came out, and it's a tragic story, Justin's personal story, and she analyses the Justin campaign, which is serving to move the case of, or the issues of homophobia into the limelight in the Football Federation or the Football Association in England. And then we've got Eric Anderson from the University of Bath, who's also giving a paper on, his title is The Declining Significance of Homophobia, and he's using some qualitative and quantitative research that's been done in the UK and also from around the, he terms of Western world, not so much in Australia, but certainly other parts of the States and Canada, which suggests that there are some very big changes happening within the general sporting population in terms of spectators and in terms of players in regard to their feelings towards sexuality, to identity, and that he sees an opening of space, I think, potentially coming up.
Well, I was reading an interesting article in the paper the other day about some of this, and apparently some football supporters in the UK were interviewed, and they were very fond of doing all the homophobic chants, you know, so-and-so takes it up the arse, and so-and-so's a poofter and all that. But when they were challenged on that, they said, no, that's not homophobic. That's just giving the players stick. You know, we don't mind gays and all that, but we just use that to give the players a bit of stick.
Yeah, look, this seems to be one of the conflicting sort of areas at the moment. I think this is probably a really important point that the conference will hopefully deal with. We've got a panel session also led by Caroline Simons, who from Victoria University as well. Who's,
yeah, we know Caroline well on this program.
She's one of the, I mean, she is the leader in terms of sport and homophobia and sexuality in Australia, as far as I can see, in terms of the research she's done. And I think this is the thing I find with my students who I teach here, is that individually people are probably a lot less homophobic than in the past, and they're more open to ideas, and they really don't care that much. But the problem is that I think a lot of people, our younger people in sport, have difficulty identifying certain behaviours. So there might be this notion of, I don't care, you know, be whatever you want to be. But then in practice, we still see, I suppose, behaviour that creates a culture of fear, that creates cultures of,
well,
we
saw exactly this thing with the Stephanie Rice thing, didn't we?
Absolutely.
She popped up and said, suck on the at faggots, and then came back and said, well, I didn't mean anything anti-gay by it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's exactly the same reasoning, isn't it?
Well, it is. And if you changed faggot to, say, nigger or Jew or something like that, it'd be quite clear what the issue was. But for some reason, the notion of sexuality is much harder to for people to get their head around and to actually understand their behaviour. Most of my students, for example, who go on to become PE teachers, who go on to become exercise scientists and experts in the field of anything to do with sport and the body, would, I think, are really keen to be better practitioners, but they just haven't got the skills because there's been nothing in the system, embedded in the system, to allow for this for understanding of issues of identity in particular to really be developed. And hopefully we see change.
Yeah, I notice also reading through some of the conference materials that there's this issue around masculinity and sport.
Yeah.
That's obviously a big one.
Well, I mean, it looks like that football codes around the world become the exemplar sport for the sort of the reproduction of a particular form of masculinity, and you know, we might call it hegemonic masculinity, or I think in certain senses the hegemonic masculinity, the dominant masculinity that's celebrated in, say, football in Australia, whether it be rugby league or AFL, similarly has a tendency to produce a particular type of hypermasculinity that values violence, that values extreme competition, power, domination, and with that comes a whole raft of other other behaviours, and one of those is obviously heterosexuality and heteronormativity, and in some regards some form of aggressive heterosexuality, which it's not necessarily what players are, but it's the model that it reproduces. I think you watch the blue carpet at the Brownlow and you understand exactly,
yes, exactly.
The balance of power in male sport or in football codes.
Yes, and then you get the interesting phenomenon of people like Ian Roberts, who come out as gay, but also portray this whole hyper-masculine, hyper-aggressive thing actually on the field. They,
yes.
In fact, they seem to feel the need to be even more butch because they're gay.
Yeah, look, it's really, I mean, I think Ian Roberts is a fascinating and an amazing man. To come out like he did in rugby league must have been incredible, and certainly there is an overcompensation. I think the research would suggest that, you know, sometimes people who are potentially in the closet actually can behave in homophobic ways or in hyper-masculine ways in order to compensate for this feeling of compensating. We see this gendered problem with women in sport in a lot of professional women's sport, where they try to emphasise femininity because they're concerned about the labels that they might attain in terms of butch or something like this in elite sport. So the ponytail appears on every woman playing basketball in the WNBA. The Florence Griffith joint of fingernails. The talking about family and maternal concepts.
I'm not sure how someone like Venus Williams fits into that.
I don't exactly.
I don't think she cares.
Yeah, no, I don't think she cares at all. No, true.
Anyway, what do you hope to achieve by this conference?
Well, look, I mean, I suppose it's threefold. The first is for people who do research football to be able to come together in a forum where they can express and discuss their research. So there's that goal. The second goal would be, and look, the organiser of the conference, Matthew Klugman, was quite strategic in placing it just after the grand final. I think he really wanted to get it in the right milieu of football. But certainly to expose some of that research, hopefully, to the broader community as well. And in particular, there is a focus at this community on sexuality. Two of the three keynotes are looking particularly at homophobia. The other keynote is looking at women's football. So there's a real focus on that. We have the panel session on the Tuesday afternoon, also looking at sexuality in sport. And Caroline's even launching a book at the end of the conference on the Tuesday, launching her History of the Gay Games, which is out through Routledge, which is a really good read. So that's really what we're trying to do.
Okay, well, let's hope it all goes very well for you, Brent, and thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Doug. Have a good day.
You too. That was...
Okay.
Dr. Brent McDonald there from Victoria University Football Studies Unit, among other things. As I say, it sort of surprised me slightly that there is such a thing as a football studies unit, but I guess everything is studyable if you want to.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.